Well, good morning. If we haven't met, my name is Becky, and we've only been away 2 weeks because 2 weeks ago we were preaching at McKinley, our Hamburg campus, and then last week, as Kevin said, we were tenting. But it feels like months. Like, I feel like I'm coming home from war to greet my family. So, which, thank you. Wow. Yeah. So it's so good. It's so good to be back here with you this morning. And we are, as you may know, we're in week four of a series that we have called To Be Continued. And we've been following Joshua as he becomes the leader of Israel after Moses. We've been following his leadership quest of taking Israel to and through the Promised Land. And we've been talking about these to-be-continued moments along the way. These are moments that are kind of twists or turns or moments where you're in it and you're like, I don't even know where I'm going. I don't know what's happening. The future isn't clear. And we've been talking about those types of moments, also knowing that in our own quest of following Jesus, there are plenty of those to-be-continued moments. And so we're going to look, as we continue to look at Joshua's life, we're actually going to look at an encounter Joshua had with this guy named Caleb. And these two have a lot of to-be-continued moments in common. They were with Moses when he parted the sea. They saw how quickly Israel rebelled when Moses was on Mount Sinai. But their lives intersected when they were young men in a very personal way. When they were each about 40 years old. So we're going to look at their encounter, but I want to set that up, or this conversation, but I want to set it up by looking at how their lives intersected when they were like middle-aged. Each of them were chosen to represent their tribe, 12 tribes of Israel. They were chosen to represent their tribe for this special quest to kind of go scout out the Promised Land. So they hadn't gone, Israel hadn't gone to the Promised Land yet. They were on the cusp and they wanted to send out some scouts. Very wise. There were 12 spies altogether, one for each tribe. So these 12 spies go out and they scout out the Promised Land for about 40 days. And they return and they give their report to Moses and to the rest of Israel. And they actually agreed on quite a bit, which for 12 men, that's a big deal. So all agreed that the land was beautiful, that it was fruitful, that it was plentiful. They actually brought back some crops. They were like, this grape is as big as your face. It's amazing. They also agreed that there were some substantial obstacles, that the people who lived in the land were like tall and mighty warriors. They lived in fortified cities that were surrounded by walls. Think the city of Jericho, right? That's kind of what they were facing. However, this is when the 12 spies started to disagree because only Joshua and Caleb wanted to move forward with the quest. The 10 other spies, and this can be found in Numbers 13, said, we can't attack these people. They're stronger than we are. We're like grasshoppers compared to them. And yet Joshua and Caleb, who had the same experience, they saw all the same things, they said to Moses and the people, look, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land. He will give it to us. Please don't rebel against the Lord. Don't be afraid of these people. We will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. So they pleaded. They pleaded with their people. They didn't minimize the challenges. They didn't pretend that those challenges and obstacles didn't exist. They simply trusted that God was bigger than those challenges. But the people didn't listen. They rebelled against God. And so God's punishment was that nobody would enter the Promised Land from that generation except for Joshua and Caleb. He said this in Numbers chapter 14. God said this about Caleb. He says, but because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. So we're going to kind of hit on that word today, wholeheartedly, because it's what sets Caleb specifically apart from, it seems, the rest of Israel. He was wholehearted, even in the most challenging to be continued moments in his life. So knowing kind of some of that history, that's the backdrop to the encounter we see in Scripture. We're going to move to Joshua chapter 14 between these two survivors. They were the only two to survive the wilderness and survive the desert of that whole rebellious generation. And so they were 40-ish about the time that they were spies. in the Promised Land. Fast forward 45 years later to this moment. Caleb, and they probably haven't seen each other. They're both, you know, busy leading their tribe. And now Joshua, of course, is the leader of the whole nation. So Caleb comes up to Joshua and he kind of is like reminding him of everything that went down 45 years earlier. He said, chapter 14, verses 7 through 14, he said, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, the Promised Land. And I brought Moses back a report according to my convictions. But remember this, Joshua, our fellow Israelites who went up with us made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So that the day Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God, say it with me, wholeheartedly. So he's saying, Joshua, I've been in this to be continued status for decades. But buddy, now you're in charge. You know what happened. Let's finish what God started decades ago. And Caleb continues, he says, now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since that time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to do battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You heard yourself that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Wow, Caleb hasn't changed a bit in the 45 years since these two men last saw each other. He gives God all the glory. He said, God kept me alive, and it's God that will give me the strength to finish what he has promised. And so Joshua, to his credit, responds in the following way. He said, Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as one of his as his inheritance. And so Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel. How? Wholeheartedly. And so Caleb followed God wholeheartedly through every season of life. As a young adult, Caleb saw how Moses led and used miraculous plagues to free the Israelites from captivity in Egypt and then walked right through the Red Sea. He learned from Moses what wholehearted living looked like as a young man. And then at the age of 40, Caleb was chosen as a scout and he remained wholehearted in his obedience even when he was outnumbered. He didn't let the voices of others drown out the voice of God. And then we see he lived wholeheartedly through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. How easy it would have been for him to lose heart or to follow half-heartedly as time and time again he saw people from his generation die in the desert. And now he's 85 years old and he is still serving God with his whole heart. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to serve God the way that Caleb did. I want to serve God wholeheartedly in every season of life through all of the to be continued seasons where we don't know the outcome. We can't see what God is doing, but we remain wholehearted. And so I want to kind of speak to three different seasons of life and how we can answer this question. How can you and I serve God wholeheartedly in every season of our lives? It starts young. Right? He was a young man when he saw Moses serve wholeheartedly. And so I want to talk to those of you who are maybe younger, children and teenagers and young adults. How can you serve God wholeheartedly? Well, just like Caleb, there are still many voices that you must tune out if you're going to listen only to God and follow him wholeheartedly. Kids and teenagers, you know this. Even when others doubted and feared, Caleb had a different spirit. He made a different choice and obeyed God even when he was outnumbered, even when it wasn't popular. Actually, you know what Israel wanted to do with him after? He was like, no, we can do it with God's help. They wanted to stone him to death. Like, talk about not being popular. That's just a shade worse than like not sitting at the cool table in the cafeteria, right? He didn't care about being popular. He wanted to live wholeheartedly. And you, young people, can choose to live as Caleb did. The voices around you will outnumber you at times. But following God wholeheartedly means trusting what he tells you. And the biggest thing that I want to impart upon young people today, but everybody listen in because we can all use this reminder, is that the world will tell you that your worth comes from fill in the blank. It comes from how athletic you are. It comes from how good looking you are. It comes from how much money you have. It comes from how smart you are and how well you do in school. It comes from a million different things that you have to perform and be at a certain level. But here's what God tells you and everybody about their worth. You are worth something for one reason and one reason only, because God made you. He made you in His image. He made you on purpose, for a purpose. He created you to be born in this culture at this time in history for a purpose. You're not a mistake. That's why you have worth. That is why you have value. And so living wholeheartedly means that you live out of that strong sense of value that comes from being made in God's image, not from anything else that this world tells you. And so I want you to learn to live in that, because out of that comes wholehearted living. But there's just one word of advice that I'm going to give you about how to do that, young people. We have to be intentional. Be intentional. We have to follow God on purpose, because it's not going to just happen on its own. We're going to get distracted. We're going to get off track by the many voices that the world has for us. And so we need to be intentional. This is what we mean when we say pursue the Father. It's not that He's hiding. It's that there's so many other things that are distracting us from Him and who He is. And so be intentional. Well, what does that mean? Young people, but everybody listen in, I want to give you just a couple of ideas about what that means. First of all, it means read Scripture every day. How can we follow God wholeheartedly if we don't even know what He says? In Psalm 119, this is what Kevin read earlier. It says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? Doesn't it seem impossible sometimes? How can we do that? Well, by living according to God's word, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You might look at a Bible and be like, I don't even know where to start. Here's my suggestion. Start in the Gospel of John. Just start there. Start somewhere. In fact, I think there's still some out in the Connection Center. We have these adorable little copies of the Gospel of John. It might be small and adorable, but it's life-changing. But you can, young people, stick this in your pocket, stick it in your purse, stick it in your book bag, right? Nobody will even know you're reading the Bible, okay? So start somewhere. We also have out on our Connection Center these little daily breads. They're just little daily bits of God's word for you to intake. And I want to give anybody under the age here of, like, let's just say 29, I give you permission right now to take out your phone and to download an app called Streetlights. This is an app that reads the Bible to you, and it kind of uses like different voices with some music in the background, and it's another way to take Scripture in. So if you don't like reading, you still don't have an excuse. Actually, did you know that most Christians throughout time and history have not had access to the written word? They've gotten God's word audibly. They've listened to it. And so you can do that today, all right? So get Scripture every day. No matter how you get it every day. And then secondly, pray every day. Talking to and listening to God about everything that you go through in life, everything that happens throughout your day. You might be like, oh, I don't know, that's too much. Please, you talk to your friends about everything that goes on through your day. I mean, literally, you take pictures of what you have for breakfast and you send it to your friends. Don't tell me that you can't talk to God about what happens throughout your day. So young people, here's your challenge. Talk to God about your day as much as you talk to your best friend. All right, that's your challenge. He's there listening, wanting to hear. He knows all about it, but He wants to hear about it from you. And He wants to speak truth into your life. So get Scripture every day, pray every day, and then thirdly, find friends who do the same. Show me your friends, young people. Show me who you're hanging out with right now, and I'll show you your future. That's how influential friends are. You got to be careful. You got to choose them wisely. Don't just give your heart to anybody in friendship. But find friends who are doing the same. Kevin and I lead our youth group here at the East Aurora campus, and we want to help you get engaged with people, with teenagers, people your age who are trying to do that same thing. August 14th is the next opportunity. We're having a pond party up at Brad and Yo Prusak's house for teenagers to hang out. And then September 6th through 8th, there's a fall retreat where we get together with all teenagers across all Revive campuses to hang out, worship. And actually, Shep, who was here last week, is the speaker for that. And then starting in the fall, we have youth group for teenagers on Tuesday nights. And then for anybody who's a young adult, so let's say graduated from high school up until 30-ish, we have something called Resonate, which meets once a month. The next time they're meeting is August 2nd, 6 to 9 p.m. at our South Creek campus. They kind of move around. You can find more about that on the website, but we want to help you find people your age who are trying to live wholeheartedly for God. So live wholeheartedly now, young people. Don't wait. I don't want you to live right now for what will make you popular, because believe me, what you need to do to be popular right now, nobody's going to care about in 5 years. But when you live wholeheartedly for God, that lives on until eternity. And so I actually want to take a moment to pray for young people. And so I want to let you know right now, part of being wholehearted for God is being a little bit vulnerable. And so if you are 29 or under, I just want you to raise your hand so that somebody around our congregation can pray for you. Whether you're a kid, whether you're a teen, whether you're a young adult, church, this is what we do. I don't care if you don't know them. Put your hand on their shoulder, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray. And so, God, I pray for each and every young person here, whether they're a kid, whether they're a teenager, whether they're a young adult. God, I pray that they would live wholeheartedly for you, that they would take in scripture every day and pray every day and find friends their own age with whom they can do that. Lord, would you protect them from the evil one? Protect them from the voices that are going to tell them that their worth is in this or that or the other thing. I pray that they would know above all else that their worth comes from the fact that you created them and that you made them in your image, that you love them, Lord. You have a plan for them. You have a purpose for them. And as we as adults are in their lives to whatever capacity, Lord, give us wisdom in how we should help them to live wholeheartedly. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, maybe like me, perhaps you're just a tad past 29 and you're in a different season of life. Maybe your 30s, your 40s, or your 50s, maybe you're raising a family. And hopefully you have had decades of experience and practice of being intentional, like I was telling the young people. If not, that's okay. Go back and start there, right? Start with being intentional. God will meet you wherever you are. But for those of us who kind of have been practicing that, the next aspect of wholehearted living that I want to talk about is to be available. Be available. And I say this because we have a Heavenly Father who is always available to us. He tells his people throughout Scripture, I am with you. And in fact, you know, we have something that even Caleb and Joshua didn't have, in that we live after when Jesus came, Jesus, the Son of God. One of his names is Emmanuel, God with us. That God the Father sent his Son in human form to live a perfect life and then to die on our behalf. And so we can experience God through Jesus. And then even more so, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, I'm going to send you my spirit. And that spirit won't be limited by a physical body. It can be with anyone, anywhere, at any time. And so God has made himself available to you and me. That's a mind-blowing concept. But like any relationship, our relationship with God is a two-way street. And so I want to encourage you to be available first and foremost to God, to abide with him, to listen to him, to open up your heart to him. In fact, one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 62, says, pour out your heart to God. He is trustworthy. And in doing so, we allow God to make our hearts whole, to align our values to match his. And you're like, that sounds great. I'm busy. Who has the time, right? Well, I actually believe that busyness is one of the top enemies of families today. Parents, we are told to give our kids every opportunity. But you know what we're doing in the process? We're killing our spiritual lives. We're not wholehearted. We're fractured. We're distracted. But the spirit of the age tells us the busier you are, the more valuable you are. You know, if you don't start your kid in that sport or activity when they're like three, it's too late. They can't put it on their college application. Can somebody please tell me when the number one goal of parenting became sending your kid to a good college? The number one goal of parenting is to cultivate an environment where kids can follow Jesus wholeheartedly. Maybe it includes college, and maybe it doesn't. But we spend, and I say we, because we're in it, we spend massive, as parents, massive amounts of time and energy and money paving the way for our children and making opportunities available to them. And as a result, we don't even make ourselves available to God. We miss out on His plan for our lives, His plan for our families, His plans for our kids, and we end up following God half-heartedly, or like so many, we just lose heart. We lose the faith. And so I want to encourage you, like Caleb, let's have a different spirit. Let's have a different heart. Let's not listen to the other voices, the voices of this age. As wholehearted followers of God, let's make decisions out of His values instead of passively allowing the world to dictate our values and make decisions for us. As Kevin and I learn how to do this and at times stumble and fumble our way through this, what we do find is that it's so freeing. Because we don't buy into the lie that being busy equals being valuable. It allows us to be more available for what God has in store, and it is so much better. It is so much better. And it might not be Ivy League schools, but I'll tell you, it's healthy relationships. It might not be the perfect GPA, but there is healing. It might not be a sports or academic scholarship, but it's a thriving relationship with the creator of the universe that makes our hearts whole, that brings hope, that brings wholeness, that brings healing and grace. And so parents and everyone, I want to encourage you, first and foremost, be available to God. Make room for Him, as we just sang. And I'm going to give you some ideas of how you might go about doing that in a moment. But secondly, after making yourselves available to God, then be available to others, primarily your kids. What children need most from birth all the way up through graduation is for their parents to be spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically available. Kids spell love with four letters just like we do, but they spell it T-I-M-E. Now, I'm not saying every waking moment. We need a break, right, parents? But kids receive love through time. Now, our family, the Beers family, general rule is one sport or activity per kid, per season, so that we can leave ourselves some breathing room to spend quality time with each other, to serve our community and our church, to be with friends and extended family, and get this, to even be bored together. Because boredom is the birthplace of creativity. We do not have to entertain our kids every moment of the day. Now, I'm going to confess to you, we broke this rule in June. Like, we overcommitted. We got over busy. We were overtired. I was overwhelmed. I was crabby and irritable most of June. We paid the price for being overcommitted. But we learned, right? There's so much grace for us parents as we seek to serve God wholeheartedly. And so just a few things that maybe you could think about in making yourselves available first and foremost to God and then to others is remove distractions as much as possible. Maybe put the phone down more and seek to be present more often. Charge your phone away from where your family sleeps and away from where your family hangs out. I also think that reading or listening to scripture together as a family can really be a beautiful thing. Whether your kid, I don't care how young your kid is, a preschool Bible or the Action Bible for elementary school kids or teen Bible for those who are a bit older. Again, listen to the Bible app. Listen to the Streetlights app. Get scripture together as a family. Because in those moments, God does something that helps everybody to learn how to be more wholehearted. Parents, those of you who work outside the home, which I'm in that category, I want you to give less at work and more at home. At work, you are 100% replaceable. I don't care if you're the top brain surgeon in the country. There's another top brain surgeon coming up through the pipe. At work, you are replaceable. At home, nobody can do what you do. I'm not saying this to lay guilt on anyone who works outside the home. I'm saying this to put work in its proper place. Don't give your whole heart to work. Don't give your whole heart to your kids. Give your whole heart to God. And he will give you what you need to be present when you need to be present. And when you're tempted to numb, do you know what I mean? You can't take one more little grubby hand on your face. You cannot take one more question. Mom, where's the whatever? Like, figure it out, kids, right? When you're tempted to numb in those moments, and by that I mean to binge like anything, binge watch shows, binge scroll, binge eat, binge drink, binge shop, I want you to take a break and ask for help. Who in your support system can help you? I want you to ask God for help and say, God, I can't see my way out. This is a to be continued, dot, dot, dot. This season of hard parenting is never going to end. Ask him for help and then do something life-giving. Pickleball. That's my life-giving thing right now. Pickleball. All right? But the author, maybe you've heard of author and speaker Brené Brown. She wrote a book a while back called Gifts of Imperfection, where she kind of she talks about wholeheartedness, and she gives 10 indicators, if you will, of wholehearted living. I'm not going to read all 10, but this one really kind of got me. She says, wholehearted living means letting go of exhaustion as a status symbol. Hey, how you doing? I'm exhausted. I'm so busy. That doesn't make you more valuable. And I say that because I've been there. She says, letting go of exhaustion as a status symbol and productivity as self-worth in order to cultivate play and rest. Did you know that God wants you to play and rest? That those should be like really significant parts of your life. So parents, I want to pray for you. If you are a parent, I'm going to pray for all the parents. If you are a parent, this is where being wholehearted requires a little bit of vulnerability. If you're a parent and you're just struggling more than usual right now, I want you to raise your hand so our church can pray for you. Church, if you see somebody with their hand up, don't care if you know them or not, put your hand on their shoulder and we're going to pray. God, parenting is hard. Because it feels like there's so much at stake. And there is. But God, I pray for each parent here, especially those who are just struggling. God, would we know that we can come to you with anything? We can pour our hearts out to you. And as we do, Lord, you don't condemn, you don't judge, you listen. And you speak truth and life into us as parents. Whatever lie we're believing, that we have to do this, that, and the other thing in order to help our kids succeed. God, may you just get rid of all of that, and may we know that our number one best parenting choice is being available to you, is making room to you, our Heavenly Father. God, may we see ourselves as you see us, that, Lord Jesus, when you look at us, you smile. That you actually find delight in meeting our needs. Remind us, Lord, that we're not going to receive from you if we don't ask. And so I pray that for each parent here, no matter what season of parenting, Lord, that your spirit would minister to us, that you would help us to get rid of all of the jumbled, distracted confusion of the world, and that we would just sit in your presence, that you would bring clarity where there's confusion, you would bring encouragement where there's discouragement, you would bring strength where there is weakness, that you would bring wholeness where there is brokenness. We can only do this by your power, Lord. Thank you that we don't parent alone, but we parent with your spirit, because your spirit can go with our kids when we can't. And so, Lord Jesus, would you just bring encouragement and energy to the parents in the room this morning? We love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. So there are some of us who are past even that stage, you lucky dogs. There are some of you who find yourself a bit later in life, and I'm not really sure what to call you. I got yelled for, not yelled at, but somebody called me out first service, like, we're not seniors, so I don't know what to call you. Those of you who are in your 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond, maybe just veterans of life, I don't know, but perhaps you, in looking through your life up to this point, you've been intentional, as I was telling the younger folks today. Maybe you're like, yeah, you know what, I've been available, and I'm already doing that. If not, go back and start there. Again, God meets us where we're at, no shame in that. But perhaps you find yourself in a season of life where you have some margin. Maybe, depending on the circumstances, you have some extra time, you have some extra resources. And so my word for you today on wholehearted living is be influential. Be influential. We see again, Caleb influenced a whole nation with his wholehearted living. We're still talking about it today. He invested in his nation, in his people, in a way that left a legacy beyond himself. And so in the same way, those of you of a certain age have that same opportunity to influence others in a way that goes beyond your individual existence and even beyond your families into eternity. Did you know that what we do in the service of Jesus echoes into eternity? I don't know about you, but I can't ask for a better purpose than that. And I just want to let you know there is an opportunity to influence and to serve others this week. Kevin mentioned 8 Days of Hope. It's this incredible partner ministry that we have been working with for a number of years. They do work all around the country, but they're based in Buffalo. And since 2019, over the past year, 5 years, they have done helped more than 1,200 families with free home repairs. So they just like get down to a street level, and they've been working in different districts in Buffalo. And so each year, thousands of volunteers get together and partner with different churches and businesses and non-for-profits. This year, this week, it's already started, this week, they're going to be in the Ellicott District of Buffalo. But we're having a revive day of serving, which is going to be this Wednesday, July 24th. If you're interested in that, you can even carpool, meet at the McKinley campus at 6 a.m., carpool down with other members of Revive. Doesn't matter what skill level you are, doesn't matter what age you are. You can go and serve. It's not too late. So you can go on the website, click on events, and register in order to serve so they know you're coming. But back to those who are in their best years, 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond. Remember Caleb? He said, so here I am, 85 years old, and just as strong today as the day Moses sent me. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now, you might not have quite the energy to take on a city in battle, but that's okay. God's not asking you to. But I think that seniors that keep learning, keep growing, keep serving, keep living out their God-given purpose until the very end are living wholeheartedly. And so if you are in that category today, I just want to let you know God's not done with you. Remember that you live out of a place of worthiness all the way to the very end. In fact, somebody recently wrote that the 70s of a person's life are the most fruitful of their life. Then, according to research, come the 80s. The 80s are the second most fruitful, and the third most fruitful decade is the 60s. I just love that. You know, our world worships youth, but God values every season of life. And Caleb gives us courage to believe that the best is yet to come. No matter our age, we can be on our deathbeds and we can still say with great faith and joy, the best is yet to come. And so those in that age bracket, I want to encourage you, don't get caught up in nostalgia. Don't get caught up in thinking about the good old days. There's more. God has more for you. Poet and author Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, he wrote this for his 50th college reunion. So he's well into his 70s. He's talking to others in their 70s, and he says, what then? Shall we sit idly down and say, ah, the night has come. It's no longer day. Basically, I'm about to die. He says, no, the night has not yet come. Something remains for us to do or to dare. Even the oldest tree some fruit may bear. I don't care how old you are, I don't care what season of life you're in, something remains left to do or to dare. You have so much wisdom. You have so much experience to share. You have lived through so many of these to-be-continued moments that you can encourage and help others and influence those who are living through similar circumstances. You can continue to serve God wholeheartedly. And so no matter what season of life you are in this morning, I want you to be asking, how can you serve God wholeheartedly in this season of life? I want to pray for our seniors, and I want to pray for all of us, and we're going to move into a time of communion to reflect on what we've heard. Let's pray. God, I just want to thank you for those who are a bit further down the road of life than we are. I thank you that they have remained faithful, that they've built a solid foundation of faith for so many of us to stand upon as we continue in our journey of faith, in this quest that you've given us to follow Jesus. And so I pray for any here who just maybe feel like they don't have much left to give or just are feeling purposeless in those later years. God, would you return that strength and that vigor to them through the power of your Spirit? Give them clarity that you still have things for them to do and to dare so that they can influence the next generation of believers who so desperately need it. And God, I just pray for each and every one of us here this morning. I pray that each and every one of us would be intentional as we follow you, that we would be available to you. And as we do so, we would find that you are right there waiting for us. Lord Jesus, would we know that we can be an influence on others by living wholeheartedly, just like Caleb did. And so, Lord, if there's voices we're listening to that are not of you, I pray that we would cut those voices out and that we would purposely and intentionally focus on your voice. Lord, when we feel outnumbered or when we feel like living life your way is just too difficult, would we make ourselves available and just hear from you and gain the guidance and the direction that we need? And God, when we know that above all, being wholehearted means trusting you, that we are safe to give our whole hearts to you, and that you will, in the process, make us more like your Son, Jesus Christ, and bring life, eternal life, to all who believe. We love you, and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.